And let's see. Well, there's been about only two commercial warehouses for seed in the valley, and that is Berenberg's and the Blue Mountain. There's two or three other warehouses that are kind of farmer-owned, but don't carry a great deal of volume of the grass seed.
Is this where your grass seed goes?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's now that it's owned by the Royce and Creston Shaw and Dean and Reen DeLynn, Paul Rugg, mm-hmm. and those folks now. All right.
They clean it there?
Yeah, they have two or three other warehouses. There's no cleaners. That's just particularly a fertilizer warehouse. And their other cleaning warehouses are a little farther down, and the one about between Embler and Alisal is one of theirs, mm-hmm. next to Berenberg.
I thought you said that grass seed was stored here now, but it isn't stored?
No, it's not stored.
Just fertilizer?
Just fertilizer.
Is it special fertilizer for grass seed?
It's for grass seed, I see. Practically all mm-hmm. of it, although it's some of the same fertilizers used on wheat and other mm-hmm. grains. Mm-hmm. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, this one.
Yeah, that's the elevator right next to it.
Yep, the co-op grain elevator also suffered fire damage in the early 20th century when a nearby apple storage building caught on fire. Clayton's father, who worked in the original building, keeping barrels of water in the top story in case of fire, but that method of fire control didn't work. Piles of wheat, some of it roasted, spilled out on the ground. Insurance rebuilt the elevator.
Yeah. It is practically the same, although it's been made a little higher mm-hmm. so they can get enough fall to fill grain bins mm-hmm. out there. And I wouldn't really say who owns it now. Billy Howell and the Case boys, and kind of both of them have kind of stopped farming, went broke, we might say. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether Billy still has it. I kind of rather imagine maybe he does. And they store, not the only thing much has been stored there is peas that will go over to Pendleton, like that.
Nobody's raising peas here anymore, are they?
Very few. Mm. Very few. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very few.
Is it essentially unused now?
Well, practically they have a big grain bin on the side of the building. A steel bin, and I think it's practically the only one that's used. But sometimes they can store some wheat there and ship it by railroad, and sometimes it goes out the truck, and mm-hmm. it can kind of be used as a storage. A few of the mm-hmm. bins are still kept in shape, but it has very little use, mm-hmm. only just for one or two little farms.
Okay. All right, here's the Clyde Kittle building. Clyde Kittle of the Island City Flouring Mill erected this building to serve as a general merchandise store. The second floor was for several years used by the Knights of Pythias as their lodge meeting place. The basement has served as potato storage and as a place for making a special kind of toothpaste.
Yeah.
Well, tell me more about that. That sounds so improbable.
I've never used any of the toothpaste, to say it that way, but there's some special sand or grit or something up in Washington that some fellow brought down there yeah. and stored a lot of it in the basement, and there's a lot of it, I guess, maybe still down there, maybe it's been hauled out, and but it never turned into much of a commercial
About when was that going on?
Oh, that would be about 60 years or so ago, probably. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that one of my folks' grocery bill blew out of the basement there, and probably somebody was trying to clean some of those things out.
Do you think that they ever got to marketing it?
I really don't believe they did on any scale.
It was just an experiment that
failed? Somebody thought they could make some money on it, and they didn't. And it was probably owned that time by a relative of the fellow that stored the sand or the grit there to use for toothpaste.
In earlier years, many people used tooth powder, not paste. Do you think it could have been powder instead?
It was a powder, and it would have been a powder if the way it had been put out, I would say.
All right, I'll change that from toothpaste to tooth powder.
Yeah,
because you think of tubes with toothpaste, whereas this was a probably would have been a can with a little hole in the top.
Yeah, I remember using it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that.
Was it Dr. Lyons, one of the brands of tooth powder?
What kind?
Dr. Lyons.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were two
Dr. Lyons, yeah. I remember
it. It was very gritty.
Yeah, a little gritty. Yes. And that's kind of what this was.
I bet it was.
In fact, I bet a person could go down there in the basement and find some of that sand. And I don't know what he's going to put with it to make toothpaste. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether he ever did make it. Toothpaste out of it.
Maybe a little mint oil.
Something like that to make it taste a little better.
Give it a taste, yeah.
All right.
All right, this house, Mrs. Goodall's house.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the nicest of the older homes in Imbler. It has been occupied by Mr. Long, who was in charge of the bank, the mayor of Imbler, and Dick Hibbard, who claims to have been born in the house.
Yeah. And the mayor, the Hirschbergers, 10, 15 years ago, a little more than that, lived there. Mm-hmm. And he was mayor, and he was quite handy building, and he put up another room on the upstairs here. And
do you have any idea who might have built it?
No, I haven't.
It was before you were born?
Yeah, quite a bit. Around the 1900s.
Has it always been kept up well?
It's been kept up fairly well.
It's certainly a house you see when you're going through Imbler.
Yeah.
It's very prominent.
Yeah, that's one that gives us quite a lot of trouble because so many people think that that's the one where we live in.
I can see why they might.
Yeah, they think that where I've been there so long.
Uh-huh.
All right.
All right, this last one. About 100 acres of the land in the foreground belong to Clayton.
No, it don't belong to me.
Oh, I thought you owned it and you were renting it out.
No, there's some folks in California that own that ground and have rented it out for years.
Well, I'm sure you said that some of this land you owned.
Well, there's some back over against the foothill that I used to own, and I give it to the Oregon State College, that farm.
Oh, I see.
And that's probably where it was confused.
I thought that what you gave it to Oregon State was near Mount Emily.
It is.
This is Mount Harris.
Now, wait. Let me look again. This is my warehouse there. This is Harris.
Yeah,
that's right. I was thinking that field of Wagner's when we were talking about it.
All right, I'll read this again now. Tell me if this is right.
Yeah.
About 100 acres of the land in the foreground belong to Clayton. Men who farm on the share presently rent the land. Mount Harris, one of the three most prominent peaks of the mountains which surround the Grand Ronde Valley, is at center. In the early days of television, someone detected a strong signal from a spot on Mount Harris. An antenna erected there provided the best TV reception from Spokane of anywhere in the valley. Ben Robinson, one of the valley's top farmers, formerly owned the land occupied by the Red Barn.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that covers it fairly good.
All right.
You could put in the one that really worked on the television is George Groot, that had an office or TV shop here in Le Grand.
Uh-huh.
He's still alive.
Yes.
They came at the high school reunion, he and Mary Helen, his wife, and talked with this quite a little bit. All right.
We know them quite well.
Yes.
Mary Helen.
Figure it out, but. It was before I was born.
This is a Model T?
Dodge.
A Dodge?
Dodge
touring car.
Yeah.
And
my father and mother and sister in the front seat.
Your mother and sister. Is this your father?
No, my father would be the one.
You can't see him.
Here. But that would be Fred Fox and Vera Fox.
Oh, I see.
They're from Overt Union, but they come out with my dad.
And who's this on the left?
That'd be my aunt that was from Missouri. she came out and stayed with me about when the folks were taking my sister. You know, they had her to all the doctors around here. Mm-hmm. And she came out and she started me to school.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how mad I got at her. She took me one block from home and stood there and watched me cross the street to go up to start my first grade. I didn't need anybody to show me how to go across the street.
Right.
She stood there and I can remember that yet. All right.
What was her name?
Nora Fox. Hmm. She never married. There's a large family and she kind of took it up on the raising her brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Such. Yeah, I've got some things I might even put in on one of these when I fix one up myself. I don't know how much of a job is it to take and run those pictures off of them. And they lived in Island City until, probably about 1908, something like that. And then they moved to Le Grand 7 or 8. I don't know exactly. Only I've got a piece in one of the papers there. I think it was, I forget, 1902 or something, mm-hmm. or like that, when my dad took a job in Le Grand, and he's mentioned that he probably moved because she'd moved to Le Grand.
Do you remember her talking about working in the store?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did she enjoy it?
What?
Did she enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. She liked it.
She was a salesperson.
A salesperson.
Yeah. Or did she keep books, too?
No, she sales. Mm. I don't know whether she kept books or not. I kind of doubt it. Although she might have worked on the book some too, mm-hmm. because she tells about one or two ladies bringing in eggs that they always had to candle their eggs because some of them came from a setting in and things like that. I shouldn't say the name because they're still known around here.
So, you think a lot of the business when she was working there was barter?
Was what?
Barter. Did they trade goods for eggs?
Oh, yeah.
And other things?
Yeah, people took their eggs in there and they were candled and sold back to the people after they got them candled.
Did they sell other kinds of groceries?
Yeah, all kinds of groceries, I think, there.
And shoes?
Shoes, I've got
overalls.
Have you saw that big picture of the shoe store?
Yeah,
I think I showed it all right there. And those shoes are the Star brand. They were made in San Luis that they advertised there, and that's where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know the one thing that's rather funny. I get lots of stories. My cousin that came from Los Angeles, the old Methodist church there, he's worked at computers, in fact, all his life, and his wife uses them. Their boys are taking computers, and he took some pictures there with his digital camera, and he had a laptop, and he plugged them right in. He really got a nice picture of the old church there in Ember, with that cupola showing up on top. Here's a board, one board and so, but you can see the light shining down through it. I wouldn't be surprised that the Ember Church isn't probably on the web, or whatever they call it, in Los Angeles, because he's been taking pictures and taking some courses in photography, and they have some clubs down there. He got an honorable mentioning in one of their clubs there. Mm-hmm. He said it's kind of fun to get up there with all the big boys down there and receive a second award. All right.
Back to the Golden Rule store, it existed for quite a while into the early 20th century, didn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe into the 20s or 30s?
Well, I can't really say.
Were you ever in it? Was it gone by the time you...
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. No, it was gone by my time. Mm-hmm. All right. I remember N.K. West that I'm sure heard some about.
Yes.
I remember having some dealings with his farm was next to mine, and so at his store in town, and then the property of his family held the Secrets family here in town.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And one story that was had down in town, right next to the drugstore where Jones's stockbroker used to be before they've moved, and that building in there used to be a shoeshine parlor, and then it was a boot repair, shoe repair. We used to have her soles put on her shoes again. And I can remember the fellow at the shoe store that Ken Seacrest came along, and he came by for the rent the first or the second of every month, and he said he always made a check out and had it on top of the cash register. If he was busy, he just came in, picked up the check, and he said he had a chance to put the two right together there and make one bigger store. And he said, well, he asked Ken if he might have to move out rather sudden. And Ken said, nope. He says, you pay your rent, you're here as long as you want to stay. As long as you pay your rent, I won't kick you out. And he said, well, I can get out, and one night I can back a truck up here, load all my shoe repair things into a truck, and be gone, find a vacant place in some other town and set up shop. And he said he actually moved out sometime later. But
were you ever aware of a tailor on Adams Avenue?
Of a tailor?
Yeah, maybe an older Italian man.
Could it have been Clint Van Fleet?
I don't know.
You don't know the name?
I just...
He had a men's store there.
I know that Marcia's father, who had an arthritic back, had to have his suits made, and that he probably went there.
Yeah.
But I've never been able to find out any information about them.
You might see. I remember Clint. He stuttered real bad, but everybody liked him. He's a swell fella. And he had kind of a men's shop in there about where the Trotter store used to be. And it wasn't, so wide, you know. It was just small. And then he made suits and just for the men back in those times.
Say his name again.
Clint Van Fleet.
V-A-N and then capital F-L-E-E-T.
Something like that. Uh-huh. That's not quite exactly right.
That doesn't sound like an Italian name.
Yeah, I don't think he was Italian, okay. I don't. But the other one at the men's store that I haven't been able to find if they have any pictures of is the... it is about where the old Payless used to be, right across from the hole of... what is their name? I know it so well, I think of it. He had a girl in high school. It was just about my time, but they were a country store. And in fact, you could go in there, and they always had a suit, good fit you. They always had some shoes. In fact, I always had trouble with my feet because my folks always got the shoes the whitest Montgomery Ward had. And after I came in there and went to him, hey, you've got a B-width shoe.
Oh.
You don't need those wide ones. And it didn't matter. There's about Ben Robinson. You mentioned the Ben Robinson barn. And the Herald and his brother. There were three, and there's one or two over at Union of us that had narrow feet. And he always had a pair of shoes for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the shoes he'd fit us for the summer to wear the farm, they weren't oil tan. They were just air tan. And they didn't wear or keep as good, but your feet didn't get so hot in them. These others, you were just oil tanned, you know, you were just inside, and that was it.
Yeah.
And with those, you had some breathing in it.
Sure.
Yeah. And he always had a pair of those shoes for us to wear in the summertime.
Huh.
And he changed us, I'm sure he changed some of these others from those big wide widths to narrow widths would fit us.
I guess your parents had the idea that any size shoe was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right. And
as long as you didn't pinch your toe.
Yeah, as long as you didn't yell.
Yeah.
If your foot could get wider if you wanted to, you could go barefooted all summer, you could still put them on and go to school in the wintertime.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. The other thing is kind of interesting is my birthday comes close to Christmas, so I always got a pair of bib overalls for Christmas. That was my Christmas present.
Yeah.
Nice new pair of bib overalls.
Mm-hmm. From Montgomery Ward?
Montgomery Ward, probably. I bet you.
But wasn't there any store around here where you could buy farm clothes?
Well, nothing that really specialized in other than JCPenney.
Nothing like D&B?
Yeah, D&B. I was out there a couple of days ago. I just look around and shake my head. Yeah. They've got enough overhauls and things in there to take care of the county for the next 10 years.
I'll say they do.
Yeah, next 10 years. Yeah, it's a very good store. I just kind of hope for them and for Albertsons and some of it. They don't get a big wall market in here.
Well, I understand that that's the plan.
I think they're coming.